As I often have shared, I do a lot of reading in the days leading up to the Sundays when I am scheduled to preach. The closer I get to Sunday, the more you will find me sitting quietly, often with my feet up, either in the early morning or at the end of a hard day. During this time, I look and listen for insights that might break through the noise and muddle of my daily life, offering me a deeper understanding of spiritual matters. Just last night, I came across a beautifully worded reflection by my favorite theologian and spiritual writer, Frederick Buechner. His words capture a fundamental aspect of the human experience and the spiritual journey. They highlight the tension between our limited capacity to understand and the limitless nature of the divine. And I think this theme resonates deeply with the readings for this morning, especially the gospel reading from John. In his book, The Sacred Journey, Buechner wrote, "In the quiet moments of life, we often feel the limits of our understanding, the edges of what we can see and grasp. And yet, within that very limit, there's an invitation to lean into the mystery, to stand beneath the vast sky of God's being and realize that there is more than we could ever know." But I'm getting ahead of myself, as I usually do. Good morning. Shortly, we'll take a special moment to honor and celebrate all our fathers. I should say the biological ones, the spiritual dads, the grandfathers, mentors, and father figures. Men who have walked in faith, led with integrity, and loved with a heart that reflects our Heavenly Father. To each of you here this morning, and there's not many, thank you for your strength, your quiet sacrifices, your wisdom, and your unwavering faith. Your presence in your families, in your homes, and in this church community is a gift and a blessing. As we worship today, may you feel the love and appreciation of your families and your church. And may God continue to guide you, strengthen you, and bless you as you lead with love. Our faith is jam-packed with mysteries and wonders. And it just so happens that this morning we are asked to contemplate one of the biggest of all. But first, I'd like you to think about the following. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. We recite these lines from the Nicene Creed every time we gather for worship. In doing so, we affirm our belief in the Holy Trinity. Yet even as we utter those words together, we recognize that our understanding of them is often limited. Now today is different from all other days in the liturgical calendar. Nearly all of our other special feast days commemorate events in the life of Jesus, events in the early history of the church, or lives of special saints. But this one peculiar day, we celebrate the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Or should I say the mystery of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which is central to our Christian faith. I say mystery because the most challenging thing about the concept of a triune God, the Holy Trinity, if you will, is that there is no way to perfectly and completely understand it. It is a nearly impossible concept for any human being to fully understand, let alone explain. As a result, Trinity Sunday is a day that strikes terror in the hearts of many clergy, or so I've read, every year they face the same dilemma, the dilemma I face this morning. How do I make the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, a humanly created statement about the nature of God, which emerged slowly across centuries of history in the early church, often referenced but never fully explained or defined in the scripture, how do I make the doctrine of the Holy Trinity understandable to the average parishioner, let alone to myself? I'm not sure. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is a human attempt to describe our experience with something we now acknowledge is beyond our ability to tell. Since it is my experience, and possibly yours also, that even the Holy Trinity is an inadequate definition of God. I have concluded that this may be a better day to celebrate God than to explain God. And I'd like to leave it at that. Yet I can almost feel Mother Lisa hanging over my shoulder, or maybe it's Denzel, as I say that, expecting me to put a little bit more effort into explaining the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. So here we go. God is three persons in one being. God is one and yet three. The Father is not the Son or the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father or the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son. But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God, and God is one. So let's review what I just said. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And that's really about the best I can do. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Now, while you try to wrap your heads around that, I'd like to talk a little bit about our gospel reading from John this morning, which contains a powerful promise, a divine assurance from Jesus himself. As he speaks to his disciples in the shadow of goodbye, the night before his passion, the night before the cross, Jesus doesn't panic or preach longer than he should. Words to live by. He simply promises his disciples this: I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Now that, friends, is something we must take very seriously. In just a few short lines, Jesus opens up the mystery of divine revelation, the Holy Spirit's ongoing work, and the Trinity's very life. Let's walk through it together. First, notice what Jesus says. I have much more to tell you. Think about that. This is Jesus, God incarnate, the Logos, the very mind of God made flesh. And yet he says even his own disciples weren't ready to receive everything. Why? Because the truth of God is infinite. Because our hearts and minds need time to be shaped, expanded, and deepened. We cannot grasp the fullness of divine wisdom all in one shot. This, by the way, is a direct challenge to spiritual complacency. If you've ever felt like you figured God out, if your faith has become stagnant, routine, small, listen again to Jesus when he says, you cannot bear it now. There's always more, always deeper to go. So what does Jesus promise? He says the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide us into all truth. Think about that for a moment. We live in an age of information overload. Truth is a Google search away. But Jesus isn't promising facts, he's promising guidance. The Holy Spirit doesn't deliver truth. He guides us into it. That word guide implies a process, movement, a relationship. And here's the truth. God is less interested in what you know than in who you're becoming. You don't need more data. You need direction. You need a guide. Now, Jesus doesn't say that the Spirit will hand it over to us in a single moment. No, the Spirit guides, like a shepherd who gently moves his flock forward, like a teacher who patiently leads a student. The Spirit leads us gradually, faithfully, into the fullness of the truth. And that truth is just not a set of ideas, it's a person. Remember, Jesus says everywhere, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So to be guided into all truth is to be drawn more deeply into Christ. Now listen carefully to what Jesus says next. Speaking of the Spirit, he says, he will not speak on his own, but will speak what he hears. He will glorify me. Everything the Father has is mine. This is breathtaking theology that unveils the inner life of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not working in isolation, but in perfect unity. The Father speaks, the Son receives, and embodies that word, and the Spirit transmits it into our hearts. This is not just divine communication, it is divine communion. The Spirit draws us into the very relationship shared between the Father and the Son. And how does this unfold across time and space? Well, it unfolds through the church. The same Spirit that Jesus promises, that same Spirit is the one who descended on Pentecost, inspired the apostles, animated the early church, and guided the formation of doctrine. And it continues to speak to us today through sacred scriptures and the holy traditions. During my readings this past week, I was reminded of the English theologian, writer, and poet John Henry Newman. He was initially an Anglican, one of us. But after his conversion, he became a Catholic cardinal. And what I learned in my readings was that Newman once described this transition against time and space beautifully, when he said that doctrine develops not by changing the core truths of the Christian faith, such as the nature of God, the divinity of Christ, etc., but by deepening our understanding of them, like a seed growing into a great tree. Think of how the church came to define the Trinity, one God in three persons, how it came to recognize the canon of Scripture and proclaim Christ's true natures, divine and human. That was not the church guessing in the dark. That was the Holy Spirit guiding him, her, into all truth. So what does this mean for you and me? It means that we must be, as Bishop Robert Barron has said, docile to the Holy Spirit. That's a word we don't use very often, isn't it? Docility. It means being teachable, humble, willing to be led. Because the Spirit will sometimes lead us where we don't want to go. Sometimes we want the Spirit to guide us with shortcuts. We want clarity, but the Spirit wants Christ-likeness. The Spirit convicts, the Spirit stretches us, step by step, moment by moment. He's not here to make us more in control. He's here to make us more like Jesus, to call us out of our comfort zones and into our missions for this life, but always for our good, always toward the truth. Friends, the Spirit who guided Peter and Paul, Cardinal Newman, and all the saints is still at work across the centuries, guiding you, me, and every willing person today. So let us open our hearts together and invite the Holy Spirit to come and guide us. And let us trust that we are being led step by step, moment by moment, not away from Christ, but ever deeper into Christ, into the very heart of God. Let me end where I began with Jesus' words, "The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth." This is not just a promise for the apostles. If you're willing to listen, follow, and naively trust him, you too might discover that Jesus still has more to say to you. And it's precisely what you need. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Help us to listen. Help us to follow. Not just to know truth, but to be transformed by it. Guide us into all truth and a kind of life that glorifies our Lord. Amen.
This is Trinity Sunday, and it is the custom of this church to do a different